Good morning. You are watching the program with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. We know that JT is going to be joining us because we saw him for a hot second, but he was there and then he wasn't. And so we assume he will emerge. In the meantime, you'll have to make do with me and Robbie. my apologies there. Allergies are killing me, but I promise it won't be.
So are you dying, Ted? Yeah, listen, we're not even talking about crocodiles. We're not talking about drilling babies. It is too early in the morning, and we haven't gotten to the silly news yet because this is not that show. What's
no,
going on?
No, TMI is coming up, and that news will be silly. Look, if I'm dying, I promise to do it here on the show because we need to do everything we can to get up the clicks. So, I'm going to die anyway, I might as well die here.
Well, how about we use Clovis Cam instead of Weekend at Ted's?
Oh yeah, well, Clovis Cam, there's the man, the legend, the cat. He's doing what cats do. He's enjoying the sun. So anyway, good morning, everyone. We are here for Deep Program Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Please don't miss the show. Today, it's all the Ted Rall you can possibly stand, and then some. TMI at 10 a.m., DMZ America podcast only on Thursdays with Scott Stantis. And I should warn you that we are going to have a big spicy show, much spicier than usual on DMZ, because we're basically exposing a conflict of interest scandal in the deliberations of this year's Pulitzer Prizes. Nobody else has this. It's going to, I don't know if it'll be a big deal or not, but it ought to be a big deal because it's a big scandal. And we can talk about that here also if we want. But anyway, please like, follow, and share the show. If you have a question for either JT or myself, please put it into the live feed, either on YouTube or on Rumble in the 9 o'clock hour. If you're watching later on, you can put your question in the comment section on Rumble and YouTube, and Robbie or myself will troll through there. One other bit of housekeeping, you may have noticed at the end of each show, we have closing credits where we thank supporters of the show. So we are updating that today and tomorrow. So actually, I don't think I had a chance to update the new one. But anyway, if you are a tier two contributor, you get to be on that. And for $49.99, we're announcing a tier three level, $49.99 a month. I know it's kind of pricey for people, but you will get a private conversation with JT and I and a small limited number of people. So it's kind of like having your own little round table with us. So we're just going to try that out and see how that goes. JT, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing okay. Apologies for the late entry. But I'm doing okay. So far, so good. Can't complain. How you doing?
All right? The important thing is that you're here. I'm doing okay.
I will always be here. Short of half dead, I will be here.
Excellent. I'm the same way. When I was in school, I always had perfect attendance. Always. I came across my elementary school report cards. I was a very sick kid. I had operations all the time. My lungs were rotten, but perfect attendance.
Wow, no. I didn't have perfect attendance, but I do damn good in regards to making sure my ass is in the seat. No, I apologize. The show just ran late. I asked the question, and the question went much longer.
We knew you were coming. You let us know. We're good.
Yeah.
All right. So, plus that's why we have Robbie. A few things to talk about today, a lot of things. And by the way, we'll talk about, if you guys have stuff you want to talk about that we are not putting on the rundown, that's okay. We'll talk about it. Bring it up. So Tennessee Republicans are taking gerrymandering. They're putting it on steroids. We can talk about that. There's big elections in the UK coming up tomorrow. Today, actually. And we're seeing a radical political realignment there where the traditional two mainstream parties, you know, we always think of as Americans, like we have Democrats and Republicans, they have Labor and the Tories. But that's not how it's going to be anymore because they have a parliamentary system and they are going to the far left Green Party and to the far right Reform UK Party led by Nigel Farage. So things, politics are definitely, I would say, are not more radicalized there, but voters have more of an opportunity there under their system to express the radicalization and the polarization of their politics. Last but not least, if you have Google Chrome, they've been secretly installing a AI model on your computer. And we have the goods on that and like what if anything you can do about it. What do you want to talk about? I mean, I do want to talk about this gerrymandering story. What do you think?
Yeah, the gerrymandering thing is still disturbing to me. I know, as you pointed out, this was something that's been going on for a very long time. But it feels cancerous to me. I mean, mind, there's a lot of things that feel cancerous to me in regards to our system. But let me say it this way, just a minute of grace. The revolutionary drive of a particular country when they first gain independence is one thing, right? They have these beliefs. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. We're going to have all of these highfalutin ideas. But at a certain point, it no longer becomes that. It's like, okay, getting votes is a pain in the ass. So let's just take money and let's use money in a way to con voters into voting for us. And then it becomes, okay, the money is not enough. So now let's just change the system itself. Like, meaning it's the bus driver changing the bus in order to make themselves that much more, let's say, enshrine themselves into a particular position as opposed to being voted into a particular position because the public wants you. There's something very sinister about that. But give me your take on that.
Oh, no. I mean, it's fundamentally anti-democratic, small d democratic, right? Yeah. So let's I mean, for people who don't understand how this works, right, let's look at the results first and work backwards. So the results are Tennessee is a state that is about a third Democratic. Like in all states, the big cities tend to be more Democratic. The rural areas tend to be more Republican. There is at present only, due to previous gerrymandering in Tennessee, only one congressional district represented by a Democrat in Tennessee. That is this very black city of Memphis, which is at the center of Shelby County, right along the Mississippi River, right? So currently, there are 9 districts, right? So there are 9 districts in the state. Only, even in a state with 1 out of 3 voters is a Democrat, only 1 out of 9 congressmen. But that's one too many for the state GOP. And they've decided to take advantage of this recent Supreme Court ruling gutting the Voting Rights Act. They're going to eliminate the 61% black district. And they're chopping it up 6 ways till Sunday. They're creating this new district that runs nearly, this is insane. I mean, I know Tennessee is a big state, but it's going to run 300 miles from Memphis all the way across the state, all the way over to the mountains in Nashville. And they're going to split Shelby County, which is, like I said, it's Memphis, and split it up into 3 different districts. The new district is basically has nothing in common with each other. It spans from the state's poorest zip codes in Memphis to the richest in places like Franklin and Brentwood. 300-mile-long congressional district. Yes. So, I mean, and I guess the thing is, what gets me is, okay, you can do this. You can, apparently. The Supreme Court says you can do it. But then there's like, should you? You know, I mean, it's like the shamelessness. And I guess there's a certain point where, you know, if I'm sitting on the Republican, and the Indiana Republican leadership did go through this process, they said, you know, you don't want to push people too far. Otherwise, you know, it's you're going to get a toxic reaction. And that's what's happening here. They're like, we don't want 8 out of 9. We want the whole schmear. We want the whole state to be Republican. And online, conservatives, Trumpies, MAGA people, they're laughing their asses off. They think the whole thing is funny. They think it's great. They think it's fan-fucking-tastic. And, yeah. I mean, the thing is, look, people who watched us know that we would criticize this if it was the Democrats doing it.
Yes.
And so this is not about, you know, it just happens to be that Republicans are in the catbird seat right now and they get to be the big assholes. But as we saw under Biden with lawfare and everything, you know, Democrats know how to be dicks too. They just don't have the chance right now. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like this is, it's a level of toxicity that terrifies me. It's one of those things, like we've talked about several things recently this week, where it's like, I don't know how this plays out, but I know it's bad.
Look, I would tell you this. I mentioned this, I think it was either yesterday or day before yesterday when we were mentioning the gerrymandering thing. And I pointed out how this stuff was being used to get rid of black districts. And this is a perfect example. Like, meaning,
oh, this is ultimate. Yeah.
Yeah. They're wielding
this. Memphis, I mean, such a black city, right?
Yeah. I mean, historic, right? In the same way that I mentioned they were using this before in order to be like making these weird districts in order to get rid of black voters or black votes, because, you know, obviously they vote typically Democrat. And so I don't entirely take it as a racial issue. I take it as a political issue. If blacks were voting for Republicans, they wouldn't be doing this, right? No, they're doing it in order to, look, I think they do it because they can. I think that's what
100%.
You do it because you can. And yeah, you may get a toxic reaction. Yeah, people may like it, but what are you going to do about it? Which is what it always boils down to. And if that answer is bitch or nothing, then they're going to do it. It's that, I mean, again, our politics is based on good faith. And we've evolved.
Which is in absentia these days.
Yeah.
Maybe always has been. I don't know. But certainly now. It seems worse than
it always has been. I mean, because at some point, this stuff did used to work. And I guess that's what I mean when I said the revolutionary spirit goes away. I mean, it's no longer just an ideological thing of what is in the best interest of America and how do we maintain a democracy, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things require people to actually defend those ideas. When those ideas fall, and it just becomes, you know, this kind of cynical grab for power. Okay, then at that point, you need some kind of response to the cynical grab for power. And I guess my thought is, this stuff eats itself. I mean, if you're looking at California and Virginia are good examples. Republicans decide we want to change, let's say, the political system to allow more delegates to go from our state that are Republicans. And what do Democrats do? They say, okay, we're going to respond to it. And you have to respond to it, because otherwise you're just going to get game. But that also means that you're government, your representative government is effectively eating itself, which I think these things are hallmarks of. This stuff is cancerous.
What about the law of unintended consequences, right? I mean, 1 out of 3 voters in the state of Tennessee is a registered Democrat. There's probably some people who are moderate Republicans who probably think this isn't really playing fair. I mean, could there be backlash against the Republican Party where people just fundamentally say, this is uncivilized. It's just not the way we're supposed to behave.
No, I don't buy it. I think they're going to be okay with it. Maybe I'm cynical. I don't think these people
are not cynical. You're not paying attention.
Yeah. I think both parties are in drink Kool-Aid. I drink red Kool-Aid. Somebody drinks blue Kool-Aid. Right. And in the people, and I'm not saying me, but I'm saying the people, are on teams. It's almost like football games. Mm-hmm. And from their point of view, hey, our team is pushing this. And that's assuming they're even fully like engaged on this stuff. They may just agree with the Republican Party in general. Like,
It is like sports, right? Like, I'm not a sports fanatic. I mean, I don't know. Do you watch sports?
Yes.
Okay, so like, but you know, so, but you know, you periodically you hear like, oh, baseball changed such and such rule. Football changed such and such rule. And I'm always like, but then it's not like chess doesn't change rules. Chess is always chess. Well, I guess they changed it hundreds of years ago, right? The board used to look very different and stuff.
No, I just mean like clocks and stuff like that. They change rules around it, but I get your point.
But yeah, but you know, basically, you know, I mean, like the knight only has a certain type of move make, right? There's only certain things you can do. I mean, so politics is that way too, where they're changing the rules all the time. And it causes us all, I think, to lose respect for the system. I mean, it's like, it's their own rules. And I mean, I guess this is a good segue to the English thing. I do want to thank Trent, who did the thumbnail for today, just for having he goes the extra mile. So the title today comes from the Mott the Hoople song, All the Way from Memphis, which is... an old Mott the Hoople song, a great song. And he found he did a parody of the original album cover for
that. Nice.
I mean, who's going to know that, right?
But nice. I wouldn't have known that.
Just want to say. I don't know if this is wrong either, but I feel like there's certain cities in the United States that have a special place in the national character. New Orleans was one of them. And I think part of what made Katrina hurt was the fact that, you know, it's a special city. It's like there's only one like it, and it's an amazing place. And even if you've never been, you kind of like in your national consciousness, you know it's there. You know, that's not true about, say, Akron, you know. And I think Memphis is one of those cities. It's a special city. And it has, you know, it's an important city. And it just seems like beating up on Memphis, you know, which is a hard scrabble, bedraggled city, which has suffered since the slavery days. Beating up on Memphis, it just seems, it's rude, man. It's wrong.
I don't care. I have grown, as John Hammond said, realist. I've become a severe realist. This doesn't shock me. It's just, if you had a power to do, you do it. I've watched them. I remember in Ohio when the Civil Rights Act was first ripped limb from limb, and they were passing laws saying, hey, we require a voter ID and we require identification, and you can use a gun license, but you can't use a student license. It's like, okay, well, that's weird. Or student license, many of those kids are Democrats, and so we don't necessarily want them to be able to vote. And this was policy. What is the guy? He says, I don't want everybody to vote. He says, elections are not won by the side with the most voters. It's won by the side who can get their voters to the polls. And effectively, if you can stop somebody from getting to the polls, that is just as well as you winning the vote.
True.
This was Republican policy going all the way back to the Heritage Foundation. God, I need to pull that video. It's exactly the same thing. This policy has been this way for decades. So no, I'm not shocked, Bettis. To me, this is their way of gaining political power and political clout. And that is the only thing that matters. If you can't do anything about it, if you have no leverage, sad day.
Let's do some comments. Mustafa Jalil, thank you so much. Mustafa Jalil, thank you so much for the $1.99. Manchild, the U.S., thanks for the dono. The U.S. is rigging maps to erase competition, but the U.K. is seeing a multi-party explosion, which we're about to talk about. Is the American duopoly's only survival strategy to gerrymander its way into a British-style collapse? Well, I think we can talk about Britain. So what's going on is voters across Scotland and Wales are going to elect members of their national parliaments. Residents of England will choose their local council members. But many voters are voting for either Reform UK on the right or the Green Party on the left. And they're sidelining Labour and the Conservatives. In some parts of Britain, the Conservative Party could come in fourth or fifth with support in the single digits. This is a big deal. And I think it's because they have a parliamentary system. I mean, you know, I don't think the Brits are more polarized than we are, but they have the ability to vote for these outside parties, and we don't. So, like, if you had a parliamentary system here, I don't think that what's happening in England is collapse. I think what it is it's just reflecting the electorate. And, you know, it's like if the Labour Party goes to, you know, is bye-bye, oh well. Personally, I think that the Greens and the Libertarians better reflect the American public than the Democrats and the Republicans do. This to me, this is sanity prevailing. Am I missing anything?
No, you're absolutely right. It's look, man. If you consider yourself a representative government, a democratic parliament, whatever, your public can change. And this was the issue with the Democratic Party, right? Or even the Republican Party in the States, where the public says, we don't like you in the way that you are. We want something different. And the party looks back and says, yeah, but we don't want to change. That's a problem. That's not a good thing, right? Like if you have a population that fundamentally wants something else, that says straight up, I want something else. Hence, Republicans vote MAGA. And MAGA is supposed to be something somehow different than the Republican Party in general, or America First or whatever. But they voted for that because they wanted something different, even though they didn't necessarily get the difference. People did the same thing for Sanders. People, when you ask them, they vote independent in this country, or they claim to be independent despite where they vote, meaning they want fundamentally something else. But the system doesn't allow that something else to even be an option because you have these two political parties that effectively function top down. England is doing something different. Nigel Farage has been like doing gangbusters in regards to the new party to which he started and the Greens, meaning that is Labour. Keir Starmer has the charisma of a used condom. He just does. Boris Johnson took a shit number 10, especially with the whole Brexit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The public.
Don't forget Liz Truss.
And Liz Truss, right. The head of cabbage that, mm-hmm. you know, that lasted less than a head of cabbage. I guess my point is, if you look at the conservative governments that have been back to back to back to back, they have failed miserably. And then they put in Labour, Starmer, who put a knife in the back of Jeremy Corbyn at the point where Corbyn was in office. And that fool, his approval rating is in the toilet. So it's like Britain, at the very least, has the capability of saying, we want to vote for other people. And they do so. Like in a way,
parliamentary democracy is superior to a two-party system. And yes. And I can prove it. It's like empirically. If you look at a list of voter participation rates by nation, countries with two-party systems are way below countries with multi-party democracies, right? They just are. Australia, Canada, Japan. Yeah, those are moribund democracies. Countries with real democracies like Italy, France, whatever, even Israel, they have much higher voter participation rates. And I wanted to let me call back a little bit what we were talking about Tennessee. I know maybe this is stupid. I know, look, I think your point of view is 100% correct. They just do what they want. But I mean, I always worry as a student of history, when you disenfranchise people, like if you tell one out of three voters of a state, right, this is majority tyranny, right, with no minority rights whatsoever. And minority rights were something that were supposed to be enshrined in the Constitution. But yes. If you have a state with one out of three voters as a Democrat, and but you don't get a single congressman, no matter where you live in the state, that's a problem, right? I mean, California has the opposite problem. California is like basically because it's almost the state GOP is almost dead. It's impossible for a California Republican to be elected governor, or it just won't happen anymore. There's no point even running that way. It would have to be a quirk of like the ranked choice voting system. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not good, right? I mean, it's just like you're if you disenfranchise people and they stop caring about the system, if they don't think they can win, they're just going to opt out and they start looking for, you know, Luigi type options.
Not good for who?
Well, it's not good for the system, actually.
True.
It's suicide. That's my point,
though. I don't think they care. Like from my point of view, this is the issue of power, no more, no less. And this idea of should we care about the minority? If you are functioning in a democratic system, yes.
I always worry about the minority. Yeah,
it should be in the bricks, right? Like the whole point of the filibuster is the whole thing of the minority. The whole point of the Senate is the whole point of the minority. In fact, I go further. The entire creation of the Senate was this idea of two members. So you can have somewhere like Montana or Iowa that has the same voting weight as California, despite the fact that California is massive. Like the premise of the system was built with this idea of the minority and ensuring the rights of that minority. They don't care. They don't care. Like their thing is, we want power. We want to be able to control the state. That's what we want to do. Hey, there's one random place of black people that tends to vote Democrat. Let's get rid of those people.
Right. Robbie says I'm missing something here, or maybe we both are. So I'm going to let him chime in.
No, what y'all are missing here is that y'all are thinking too big. Y'all are thinking about big, complex ideas for a complex system. If you live in a shithole like Memphis or New Orleans or Little Rock, you're not thinking about how many seats is the Democratic Party going to represent for me in the state capitol or in Washington, D.C. You're thinking about, is some meth head going to break into my house, rob what little bit I have, while I'm working three jobs trying to make a living? That's the problem. When people are desperate, when they are ground all the way completely down, you're not thinking big things like this. You are incapable of self-governance, and that's by design.
Robbie.
Yeah.
They are, look, I appreciate that. this idea that people are looking for solutions in order to deal with real world phenomena. Agreed. That is different to me than saying we're going to eliminate, because this is not an issue of who are we going to vote for in order to put in order to handle X or Y. This is effectively saying we need to disenfranchise a particular group, or let's say this particular demographic, in order to get political clout and political power. I think you're giving them the benefit of the doubt that they don't deserve, considering this is something that they've been doing all across the United States.
Oh, I'm not giving benefit of the doubt at all. I think gerrymandering is stupid, and the Republicans are going to figure out, just like the Democrats did, that this is going to come back and it's going to blow up in their face in a spectacularly gnarly way. I mean, it's already started. I mean, look, y'all mentioned California. I mean, anytime that you start carving up voting districts, it's, well, to me, the entire idea of a count of a voting district is retarded. What you should do is, just based on the population of the county you live in, just have right voting. If you have 800,000 people living in your county, then the top four candidates, or however it is, whatever the number is, they get elected to represent that county. I don't even understand why we have districts. We already have counties. If you do that, the problem is solved already. What I'm talking about, though, y'all are talking about big picture ideas about parliamentary elections and the parliament, parliamentary system being superior to a two-party system. Fine, well, maybe you're right. I have no idea. You probably are right. The point I'm trying to make is you're never going to get any kind of traction with that when people are more worried about crime and how to pay the bills and how to pay the rent than these big top-down issues.
Well, you're now bringing up the break. You're actually bringing the biggest issue of all, Robbie, and I don't disagree with you. You know, the biggest issue of all is just, you know, how you can distract millions and millions of people from their own parochial self-interests and basically screw them and have them unable or unwilling to respond.
This is how the British conquered India. I mean, think about this. What they're doing, they're playing black against right, worker against the middle class, poor versus rich. They're playing all these games, and what the majority of people are doing are pointing the finger at the other guy, saying you're the problem. When the problem is the guy in the three-piece suit, who is screwing everybody, but no one can see it because we're all playing this stupid racial BS game. That's the problem. You got to get. Listen, if some inbred redneck with a family tree that literally goes straight up like this, I have no forks, okay? I'm from the deep south. I understand this. Why do we have voting districts? I don't understand it. Why don't I just have ranked choice voting? Like, if you have 30 people running for the House of Representatives in your states, why not just apportion whoever wins based on the population of each individual county and be done?
Because
I don't understand this system.
Because ranked choice voting would make it difficult for, put it this way, would Hillary Clinton, would Jill Stein in a ranked choice voting election? Hell no. Because the reality of it is, the moment that you say, I want this other person other than the Democrat or other than the Republican, and I'll put the Republican as number two, then by all, or the Democrat as number two, you make their position that much more difficult to get elected. If I'm Clinton and I'm running against Trump, I would prefer nobody else being on that ballot. And I would prefer that you believe that the end of the world is going to take place if you don't vote for me. That's not entirely true if you have a ranked choice voting system. You immediately allow another candidate to get the potential for that vote. Because keep in mind, our political system is this thing of either me or this other person. That's all you get. And if you don't vote for me, you may not like me. You may not like my policies, but you may think this other person is the devil. Hence, you vote for me. A ranked choice voting system would allow a different option. They
don't forget, though, ranked choice voting gave us Eric Adams as mayor of New York City.
True.
I'm just going to reply to Abe's comment real quick, and I'll go away. Robbie's still against women's rights to health care. Actually, no, I like women. My wife had access to health care. She had to have major surgery because of tumors. I have no problem at all with women having health care. I am opposed to doctors murdering babies. So if you're referring to abortion, that's not health care, that's murder. Those are two very different things. One saves a life, the other one takes a life. So
there are circumstances.
You need to check yourself on that.
There are some circumstances where a child has to be aborted in order to save the life of the mother. I mean, I personally have met women in that situation.
Sure. But I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people, you know, conflating abortion with healthcare. That's a decision for another day. But I mean, my whole thing is, you know, we would not be having this conversation about Tennessee gerrymandering away the entire city of Memphis, which is a blight on the backside of Tennessee, if we had ranked choice voting.
Yeah, well, the people there are victims of, talk about systemic racism. I mean, God, that history is like, we don't have enough time left in this show. Ian the Jolly, bro, holy shit, we're reverting. Alabama is splitting the black belt into 5 districts. And people say no racial gerrymandering, like that isn't what this is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get this thing of, you guys are bringing race into the conversation. It's about race. And I am one of those people who are not, I am a firm believer that things more revolve around economics. In fact, when I was on the other show, Bob White was far more into racial politics than I was. I was the guy who was like, this stuff is about economics. However, I am perfectly aware when they are splitting districts in order to, let's say, solidify their power base, that there's a racial element to it. I think it has more to do with the fact that Democrats or blacks vote Democrat. As I pointed out, if blacks voted Republican, they wouldn't be doing this. But that's besides the point. Obviously, there's an element to it when you are effectively cutting the power base of a particular group. And I don't think Republicans are thinking to themselves, especially the leadership, well, people are concerned about getting food on the table and crime, so we need to destroy the vote in the district. I don't think that's where they're coming from. I think they want to ensure their power base. I think
yeah, they just want the numbers. They're just trying to get to as much of a majority as possible. I'm very glad Zoya is Love posted this comment. Love you guys, but get past the duopoly illusion. Both parties grow the wealth gap, expand war, serve capital, fund the police state, support surveillance, oppose healthcare, sabotage unions, bust strikes. I read that slowly because it's all true and it's all very important. And, the reason, when we pick the stories here, it's easy to say, well, we could ignore this story. Who cares? This is just like a squabble between the two assholes in the duopoly. And on one sense, that's true in on one level. But I think it's important also to it exposes the nature of the system that, when they're tearing each other apart and they're willing to act this way and they violate even their own supposed rules. To me, that's very instructive. And I don't know, it feels like it exposes them and the bullshit that they are. It's sort of like when the DNC cheated Bernie Sanders. Who's surprised? Right. Not you, JT, not me. But like, still, when you see it and you talk about it, it just shows that these are cheaters. These are liars. These are manipulators. These are people who don't care about us. And right. And I think that's why. But I think that reminder from that comment is really important.
It is. It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both. Both are the problem. I mean, don't get me wrong. We may focus on Democrats on one show and then focus on Republicans on the other.
Totally. Both.
But yeah.
I hate them both.
Yeah, I hate them both. And it's valid to kind of point out the system is eating itself. It's cancerous. Mm-hmm. And again, the UK elections are a really good example. In a parliamentary system, especially in a system where they appropriate the vote for a particular party, meaning if you get X amount of vote that are green voters, you need to have this many people who are in parliament, et cetera, then you get a better distribution of people who are able to vote what they want, as opposed to being stuck in a two-party mm-hmm. system. That would be the benefit of a parliamentary system. It's kind of like they have in Germany. Well, Germany is a little bit different because they're going after the AfD. That's the secondary point. The point I'm getting at is we don't have this ability for, say, okay, 3% voted for the Green Party, so 3% of Congress is going to be Green Party. We don't have that. And that's a problem. That's an issue. Agree.
Okay. So let's move on. Let's do some more comments, actually, here. I like this comment. Thank you, maybe Blue Funk. Ted, according to European historian Anibal, I don't know, the French did not have as bad of a depression as the Germans did in the 1930s because the French elite still had memories from the guillotine days. Well, that's partly true, but as a student of French history, I will say also what happened is that the French ended up electing the Popular Front under the first Jewish president, Léon Blum. And my mom was born in 1935. Blum was elected in 1936. My mom said that her parents told her that they literally, the family would have absolutely starved to death without the Popular Front. And the Popular Front came in, nationalized industries, taxed the rich, created all sorts of welfare programs that never existed in France before 1936. And that it, you know, even though they were, the Popular Front was pretty much toast by 1938, 1939, nevertheless, it made all the difference in the world. I mean, their electoral system had the space to allow the far left to come to power. Here in the United States, the best we could do was FDR and the New Deal. And he basically, you know, as the historians say, saved capitalism from itself. I guess I'm not really disagreeing with the comment, but I mean, I think the point is it's important to put a finer point on it.
Yeah, you're much more well-versed on France than I am on this one.
Let's see.
By the way, I know who the Popular Front is. Marie Le Pen, she's probably, well, they changed the name to, I forget what they changed the name to. It won't be Le Pen because France was doing their own democratic reworking, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, well, it's the Rassemblement, what is it, Rassemblement de la République or something like that. It used to be the National Front. And now her protege is Jordan Bardella. And he's like a little guy, like a little, like, you know, Pete Buttigieg type dude. No word on whether they're having kind of like, who was that? Like an Ayn Frank, not Anne Frank, Ayn Rand, the opposite of Anne Frank.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand.
But anyway, kind of an Ayn Rand kind of relationship there. I don't know. But the point is that he, you know, they say, oh, he won't be the candidate. But I mean, I don't see how he can't be the candidate.
Yeah,
he's the head of the party, and it makes, and he's articulate, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be.
Not to mention they cheated her. I mean, this lawfare stuff is outrageous.
They did cheat her.
It's in Romania. You don't think so?
No, they did cheat her. I agree with you. I mean, it's an example of what I mean. This is, it's analogous to Tennessee, right? Where it's like, oh, we're going to tell the right-wing, you know, rural Frenchman, oh, you know, yeah, this is your party, but you can't vote for this, for your candidate on a technicality. Because, you know, we went to court. We got her banned from running for office. It's ridiculous. And of course, you know, and again, as a leftist, I don't think it's a good idea to disenfranchise the far right.
Agreed. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea to disenfranchise anybody. From my point of view, the Constitution is not the Bible, right? It's not a religious document, even though some people act like it is. Governments, countries form governments to deal with environmental circumstances. And your government needs to be able to change to accommodate the circumstances to what you're dealing with. If you have immigration, for example, that may be an issue at some point where you have to deal with. If you have, you know, a war, your government needs to be able to conform to deal with it. Same thing. If you create a system where you can't do that, then your country is going to go through difficulties. And I take issue with the way that they're effectively gaming the system. Carlin Gogescu, Romania, is another really good example, where they're like, yeah, we're going to find a technicality to get you out of office after you won the first vote and was going to win the second. Mm-hmm. That stuff is outrageous. But they do it. You have Europe that is positioning itself for war. And the public is saying, we don't want this. And they're like, yeah, we need you to stop saying you don't want this. Shut up. Get out of the way. I'm saying we have representative governments for a reason, in order to accommodate environmental circumstance and environmental change. And when you make that impossible because you want to put your people in as a power position, you are asking for trouble in a governmental sense, in a larger sense, maybe not in an individual local sense where you take power.
So by the way, just a little bit of breaking news. Since we're on a class, this kind of fits into our today's theme, which seems to be class. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has, in fact, announced the new state budget deal that does include what they call the pied-à-terre tax, So if you have a second home in New York City that you don't live in, that you just visit sometimes, they'll slap a tax. They're hoping to raise $500 million to help close the budget gap from that. Mayor Mamdani had promised to do that. I'm always of two minds about income redistribution through the tax structure. On the one hand, I mean, not so much for the state, but I definitely am for federal, because it's like, all right, well, I do think obviously rich people should pay more taxes than poor people, and poor people really shouldn't pay any taxes. But then that money, it's going to like wars and hurting people. So that part makes me uncomfortable. It's not like the government's largely engaged in doing good things for good people.
Right. Yeah, I would love for it to be like, okay, we have a program that we're going to give rid of the homeless, and we are using this money specifically for that task. Okay, congratulations, good job, right? That's not really the way it typically works. It just goes into a pot, and nobody has any idea what that pot is going to be used for. Usually it's not for our betterment. So,
right. Yeah. I have an ad, and I hopefully... I'm really, the ads are a minefield. I'm worried. Okay, but here we go. All right, if this, I think this one will be okay. All right, here we go. Gotta get those shekels any way we can. All right, AccessMed, powered by Trinova Health, is a revolutionary telehealth service that offers fast, free online evaluations and free home delivery of customized compounded medications, offering custom weight loss support, ivermectin therapy, hair restoration, I could use that, cosmetic rejuvenation, could definitely use that, custom ED treatments, I'm not commenting, and more. You can complete your visit in less than 10 minutes, and there's no subscriptions or recurring fees ever. We've made getting started easier than ever. Simply follow the link, choose the product or treatment you're interested in, and then complete a quick online evaluation. Within days, your custom meds will arrive to your door. Mention Rumble in the coupon code and get 10% off your first treatment. Oh, I slid through there. It was okay.
What's the name of that cartoon, Ted? What's the name of
that again? A Trinova. Okay, so we have a comment here. A suggestion from FUSO, and thanks for the dono. You guys should cross universe episodes with Do Dissidents Keaton. Also has a music channel where you can talk top 10 punk albums.
Why is that name familiar? Do Dissidents. Wait, you said we could talk punk albums?
Yeah, top 10 punk albums.
Yeah. I would love to. I mean, I don't know if you do books outside of like political books. I've gotten recently audiobooks and stuff like that. Oh, I'd love to have talk about books and politics and philosophy and all this stuff with it. But look, if somebody calls in, if they give the tier, we can talk about it. Or Q&A. Oh, I don't see Ted.
No, we lost Ted.
Oh, we lost Ted. Okay, fair enough. I was like, okay, something weird is happening. Okay. We have Robbie.
Ted's problem is that it's completely self-inflicted. He has a magic mouse. And so if you swipe on the magic mouse of the Mac in a certain way, it just closes the tab. Why Ted will not get a real mouse? I mean, you don't need anything. Just like a regular mouse like this.
Regular mouse.
And then all of a sudden, these problems of the incredible disappearing Ted go away. Ted, why are you a masochist? Why do you insist on hurting yourself with this crap magic mouse?
I do not know. No, that wasn't even a magic mouse thing. This was a weird Rumble thing. No magic mouse. Suddenly I thought JT was frozen, and I'm like, wait, he's not the frozen one. I'm the frozen one.
Too, by the way, like yesterday, it kept freezing, and I kept losing some of the commentary that was taking place. I wasn't sure if it was me or external.
No, I don't think it was you. I think Rumble's been a little quirky lately. So that's the problem. That's why I'm reluctant to let StreamYard go, Robbie.
You need to let StreamYard go because let me make the case for StreamYard. First, whenever StreamYard, it looks and sounds horrible.
That's
second.
True.
Second, you pay a premium every single month for it for a subpar product, which I don't understand why you and JT insist on doing that.
I just told you why. Because Rumble is not 100% reliable.
Well, anything made by man is not 100% reliable.
Yeah, but this might be made by groundhogs made by or something.
God is not 100% reliable either.
I mean, no, listen, I would be the first one to admit that Rumble is held together with duct tape, prayers, and spit. Right there with
well,
you.
Well, there you go. That's thus StreamYard.
But the price is right for Rumble.
Well,
it's free, right?
Yeah, Rumble's but you get what you pay for also.
Well, Rumble pays you to use it. Right, so they want to have true. A so they want to have a good quality product.
All right, we need to get we need Jeff to get his thing off the ground. So,
well, remember we're going to be having that conversation with him tomorrow, and also yeah, Pickaxe is going to be releasing shorts very soon. I've asked to be in the beta.
Yeah,
he's just like I don't know how that's
going to
work.
Known you to be a beta.
Listen, I can be whatever it is that you need me to be, except for a Zionist. If you tell me I've got to backpedal
on everybody's got a price, Robbie. You could be a Zionist. If I paid you $10 million a year to say Israel's awesome, Bibi Netanyahu is cute, there's never been a genocide, never will be a genocide.
Yeah.
That land was promised by God himself. Thousands of years ago, and all that, you know, they have a deed that Moses gave them.
Well, that part was true. The problem is that because they broke the covenant, if you read the book of Jeremiah, God actually divorces the nation of Israel. And then in the New Testament, that's actually, if you read the parable of the vineyard and the sower, of the vineyard, Jesus himself makes it very, very clear, like, no, your days are done. So, yeah, sorry.
Well,
no, contract law is a thing. It's kind of like what Columbia is figuring out. You go through, you pay this money and you get your degree. Then all of a sudden you have unauthorized opinions and then they take your degree away from you.
That's what they do. I mean, it's disgusting.
No, for sure.
I always feel sorry because as I'm an alumnus and sometimes I get those calls from like the, you know, the students who have that work study job calling to shake down alumni for money. And I'm always like, look, I know you're sitting in low library in the basement making this call, and I'm sorry. And this is not directed at you, but seriously, tell them to fuck off because they're such assholes. And like, tell them to apologize to all the people that they expelled and suspended over the Gaza stuff and to make them whole financially. And we'll have a conversation, you know? Go ahead. Robbie,
if the Democrats really want to win elections, they could do it really super easy. Run on universal health care and run on free speech. Say you don't get to you don't get to take away people's diplomas and then deport them for unauthorized opinions. And we're going to make sure that you can afford your health care. If the Democrats did just those two things, they would win every election for the next 100 years.
That's
but they
not
can't
true.
Do it.
Well,
they don't believe either of those things.
Of course not.
They don't believe in either of those things. When Biden was in office, look at it. He was putting in like a regimental structure in order to go after people with opinions that the Democratic Party didn't particularly like, especially on the issue of Ukraine.
Yeah, well, and JT and I are out of work, and so are you, Robbie, as a result of that.
Yep.
$5 donation from Alex. Thanks so much. Does JT's mic mute correctly? I can hear him when the red light is off. I've noticed for a few days. I think that's a Rumble thing.
Really? You can hear me when the red light is off?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay, turn it back off and test it. That's a good look. Like,
testing. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we hear you perfectly. Yeah.
Are you serious?
So JT, they're at the bottom of Rumble Studio. Click on the little mic icon up under your name, and that will kill it. Now
what?
Talk.
No, I get that, but this is supposed to kill the volume. That's outrageous.
It does not.
Here, let me see if mine does it.
It just turns off your porn strobe.
Could you hear me when I was talking before?
No.
Oh, so my little blue mic, it works. If I turn
what
it
the
off.
Hell?
Yeah, if I go like that.
I mean, it even has a volume thing on top. It's like cut off that. Good to know.
Yeah, you should get a refund.
Good to know.
So it's different having a Republican
swearing life. And stuff like that. And people are like, dude, we still hear you swearing.
So annoying. So annoying. Just filming, really. I don't agree with rich people should pay more. God knows I'm broke. But if I go to school and study hard, get a good job or start my own business, why should I pay for someone who chose to mess around? I love this question. I think it's a valid one. And here's my answer to that. It takes all kinds to make a society. And the idea that someone is contributing more because they're, let's say, getting up earlier or walking or working harder, let's say, for whatever that means, or they have more of a vivid imagination, or they have ideas that happen to be able to be saleable or scalable under a capitalist system. I think that's a faulty idea. It's a faulty meritocracy. I mean, I think someone who can contribute just as much who smokes weed all day, I'm not kidding, and doesn't work hard and sleeps late, but maybe that person is like really reliable, and in a pinch, that's the person who helps out and who helps their neighbors and watches their dog when they're on vacation. Maybe that's the person who can be counted upon in different situations. I mean, the point is we all offer different things to society. I don't look down on someone who's less educated than I am, or, you know, can't draw cartoons as well as I can, or whatever. I mean, those things are important to me, but they're not important sort of to God, you know, if God exists, right? It's like, I mean, I think we all contribute something different. And like, obviously, you know, there's people like Jeffrey Epstein who maybe, you know, it's a net negative. But for most of us, you know, what we have to offer is beyond like these, this sort of like value added Adam Smith, short term quarterly profit capitalist leitmotif.
I think I know what's going on with your mic, JT. What model mic is that you have?
Oh, don't ask me that. It's a.
Does your laptop have a built in mic? If it does, if it's on by default, that's the problem.
That's a good question, Robbie. Let's see.
Oh, you might not be using the mic. You might be talking, we might be hearing you through your laptop. Right, Robbie, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's the mic. The laptop mic is disabled.
Oh.
Yeah, I disabled the other communication devices on the thing because I don't want it to flip over.
Yeah.
This is a my vision is all fucked up. Where are my glasses?
Seriously, though, you just derailed my beautiful elegy to how we all contribute.
Yeah, with this
mic back then. Really?
What kind of mic did you get?
Just for that, I'm kicking you out. Okay.
I kind of agree with you on this.
Kidding.
I mean, I guess, look, I am one of those people that think if you are productive, I don't have an issue with compensation. The catch is, what is the compensation? And should people be able to make $1 billion? Because I don't think people add $1 billion of value.
It's not possible for a human being to add $1 billion worth of value.
Right. Nor did they get it by themselves.
Right.
I make the analogy of Jeff Bezos, for example. I got to be honest with you. I am okay paying people in general, as a base income, kind of like Richard Nixon, like the reverse income thing. Even if they sit at home and smoke weed. Now, the reason I would do that is because sometimes I'm willing to pay people to not do destructive stuff, if that makes sense. I don't want the guy going to crime. I don't want the guy,
right,
in some respects, acting as a cop, especially if he's going to be a bad cop. I don't want, I don't want negative production in society, if that makes sense.
There's a net benefit to society to having people sit at home watching television and playing video games rather than being out in the street robbing us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Robbie's going to disagree with us. I'm not sure I'm going to disagree. I just have a question for y'all because, I mean, supply and demand is a thing, right?
Yep.
So demand is infinite. People always want more stuff. Supply is always limited by the
environmental
stuff. It just is. So
I'm not so sure I would agree with that. People don't have an infinite demand for stuff. I mean, most people, I think, are, you know, have a pretty modest at level of expectation. They just want to be able to, you know, maybe go out for dinner once or twice, once a week or once every other week. They want to be able to afford their bills, and they want to maybe go on vacation once a year. Most people don't want that much.
Well, it's because, well, I'm not saying they want a lot, but I'm saying is that demand is infinite. People always want something that they don't have. That's the whole point of capitalism, is that you buy something you don't have.
But is that really true?
Of course it's true. Like, it's human nature. I got to be honest with you.
But that's not human nature. Human nature is water in a glass. Meaning human nature could be beautiful, loving, et cetera, or it could be I want everything that I can get my hands on, cynical, et cetera. Meaning it's water in a glass. Your environment shapes that glass. If we have an environment like this where you can't trust the political space, the world is at war, you have to fight for anything that you get, then yeah, human nature is going to be pretty, you know.
Well, you could compare Memphis with Paris. Why is one city beautiful and the other one is a
history?
Is a military demilitarized zone. But the point that I'm trying to I understand that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that one with the UBI, and I think we need to have one, especially with AI and automation. It's going to happen. So the question is going to be first, how do you pay for it? The way I would pay for it is by downsizing the military by 80%, closing military bases, securing the border, ending immigration, and take care of the home people first. That way you can afford the UBI. Or you can just print money and just use inflation to pay for it, which destroys the purchasing power of every dollar that you're giving out anyway. Right. So I guess the question that I have about it is if you generate more, if you give people more money, then they're able to buy more stuff. There's going to be less stuff available, thus pushing up prices in addition to the inflation created by the government. So what are you actually getting? I guess that's my question. Does that make any sense? Am I speaking Greek here or am I making sense?
I think your point is if you create the supply and demand thing and the issue with prices is if people have more purchasing power and they're buying more stuff.
There's more competition for that limited supply.
Exactly, in which case the prices goes up. It's basically an inflationary spiral to it. The problem I have with that argument, and I guess is, are we saying that people should remain poor?
No.
That's all we're saying. Meaning the system to which we're engaging in doesn't allow for people to have the things that they need. It's that, to me, that's the question. Do we have a system where people don't need to be homeless, where people can have food? Even, because I agree with Ted on this in regards to, I don't think people's demands are infinite. My mom used to always say, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have enough to live.
Yeah, well, that's a biblical principle.
All I ever wanted to do was to draw cartoons for a living and pay my bills.
I mean, I just want to make ends meet. And I want to be able to take those travel.
Ted, you've been to my house. I live in a very modest little apartment. And I want what I want, and I think what most people would want, is I want my needs to be met. But not necessarily my wants. I guess that's the difference. Maybe I'm not phrasing it right in my crazy autistic way, but
no, you are.
But I think that's what makes the most sense. Let me meet my need, but
it depends on the wants.
But have enough. But don't take away the dignity of work, so I can strive for what I want.
Well, nobody's taking that away from you, though. I guess that's my point.
Well, no, I get that, but the argument though that you can make with the UBI is that. Kind of like voting is a pressure release valve. It keeps people from getting pissed off because they think that their vote actually matters.
Right.
Maybe a UBI would be kind of like an opioid, just kind of just dial it back. You're getting what you need. It doesn't matter the government's doing all this stuff. You know, you have three hots and a cot. You're living in this comfortable jail.
You know, it's funny. That's Richard Wolff's argument. Because Richard Wolff's thing is like, well, instead of doing this thing of a UBI, why don't we cut back the hours that people work? That allow more people into the workforce.
That's important.
That could be this kind of opioid.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, seriously, we've had annual increases in productivity year after year after year after year. We have less demand for workers due to automation and now AI. Why don't we say everybody works 15, 20 hours a week instead?
Yeah.
And pay them the same as if they worked 40, because after all, they're generating that much value added anyway.
No, just filming greatly. I really have a question. You're really hung up on my stance about immigrants. Could you please explain to me in the time that we have left, and by you, I mean anyone, why is it the responsibility of the American worker to have their wages suppressed because some immigrant deserves more. I don't understand this constant beating of the drum. The entire purpose of a government is to provide for the welfare and the security of its citizens, not the entire fucking world. Why is this so hard for you to understand?
Guys, wait, we are so out of time here.
Something on YouTube, just filming greatly. Robbie is collectively punishing immigration. Immigration is necessary if you want cheap prices. Listen, you dumb fucker. I don't want cheap prices. I want people to be able to have a living wage. What is so hard about this to understand? Do I need to speak slower for you?
Well, yes, and you need to speak tomorrow because we're going to... we are completely out of fucking time.
I'm sorry for calling you stupid. But if the shoe fits, brother, you're a moron.
Are you sorry? Really? I don't think you're sorry.
No, I'm not sorry.
So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We never got to the Google Chrome story, so hopefully we can get to that tomorrow. But you can look that up yourselves, I guess. Anyway, stay tuned for TMI Show with Ted Rall and Manila Chan coming up. Robbie will be sitting in, so if you want to stick around, maybe you can pick his brain about immigration at that time. 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 hour from now, DMZ America podcast breaks a story about the scandal at the Pulitzer Prize awards that were just announced earlier this week. And so stay tuned for that. Bye, everyone. Bye, JT. See you tomorrow.
Sorry for being mean.